right, welcome back to the Survival and Basic Badass Podcast, Kevin and Chuck. Today, we're going to talk about the survival and prepping community. I've been thinking about this more as the world seems to be getting more and more desperate, I would say. People don't seem to be reacting in a frantic way or anything, but if you watch the trends, I feel like inflation is really, taking a toll here, and money is starting to, get tighter and tighter for people. I know I wouldn't want to be just starting out right now and, trying to make it work with the prices that I'm seeing. The whole government's kind of coming after things they're coming after the guns. They seem to be really after people's liberties and monitoring things that people say and just that whole thing. It just makes it where you kind of trust less. I mean, I look at like the ATF with all the new laws they keep proposing every week, and they're like, we'll come after this. And it's all like little things. It seems to be that death by a thousand cuts kind of thing. Like, nothing is that big. I haven't seen any big scary monsters lurking in the closet or anything. I just kind of, you get the feeling that they're just kind of closing the grip. And that's from the guy who doesn't even watch the news, And I know gas prices and that kind of stuff. It just really, I feel like it's pushing us to be more self-reliant. If you'd been following all along and that whole living off grid, self-sufficient, taking care of your family, keeping things close, bartering with your friends, finding ways to make things work using what's available to you seems to be more and more of a good idea. That's, I guess, all I'm going at. I'm not talking about we need a crazy, compound for the nuclear disaster that we have to, all survive or anything like that. I'm just saying that being able to build a strong community sounds like a really good idea. A network of friends, a support system. They always say that the parts are greater than the whole, or the whole is greater than the parts, that kind of thing where, together, working together, you can accomplish a lot more. It was always one of the things about like marriage or something, if you truly are a team and working together, you can build something more impressive than somebody as an individual and that kind of thing. People surround themselves with, people who are going to make them better. And I think that's that whole prepper community kind of thing. That's how that works. And in a way, we're kind of a community. We share ideas and resources, as far as, hey, look, this is a great place to go learn something and whatever. But I think actually having people that you work with in the day to day and really focus on building a network, plus the security aspects if things did go bad and turned into that, shit hits the fan, end of the world situation. I think that, it really becomes a good idea to have a network of people. And that may be just you and your neighbors kind of talking and plotting, without changing the world. I'm not saying you have to go buy the hippie commune with the little girls in dresses and guitars in the field and sunflowers in their hair. But it doesn't have to be all that. But I don't know why that's not what we're really looking for. It's hard to say. Kevin, what are your thoughts here?
Yeah. Well, so I've always kind of in the back of my mind had a fantasy about living on a hippie commune.
Yes.
I grew up in Woodstock and I'm part hippie myself. I've got a special place in my heart for hippies. But honestly,
When you imagined it, were they all naked? Were they all naked? Or
if you're a hippie, you're always naked, right? But honestly, doing the research for this, show, it really kind of, the amount of hippie bullshit I had to wade through, kind of nauseating, and it kind of turned me off to the whole hippie commune thing. But
okay.
But I think that there's definitely some benefits and some pluses for this. So I went through a bunch of these. I looked through a bunch of different communes that are already in place. Actually, there's over 1,000 registered in. They call them intentional communities, is what they're called. But there's over 1,000 registered in the United States alone. So it's not like something that doesn't happen. And you know, before the Civil War, there was in the United States, there was a lot of these types of communities where everybody worked together, joined their income and worked for a common goal. So it's not like a new thing by any means. Now most of these communities though, a lot of them are, communal living, communal income, that sort of stuff, but they all have to have streams of income. You know what I mean? There's always going to be costs. So, it's not really just working by yourself and raising your own food on your own land. Yeah. There's always going to be outside costs. So most of these communities do stuff, make products. One of them that I was looking at, they make hammocks, and yes. They supplied all of the hammocks for Pier 1 imports for years and years.
I do wonder, is there any way we could start like a bullet manufacturing? Like, let's skip the hammocks and let's get to a product that people really want, right?
Right. What if something we were just that's really important and useful?
5.56 or whatever, right? Something right. that matters, you know, or yeah. I don't know. That was really as far as I went on that. Maybe just gun manufacturing. I mean, why not build guns? And that could really mm-hmm. be the community. And I feel like there's a
that
job.
That would be the community I'd want to live in.
Right. There's a job for everyone in the gun manufacturing plant. You know, we got custodial mm-hmm. staff. We got maintenance people. We got, gunsmiths. We got secretaries. We got, marketing people. There's mm-hmm. a job for everybody.
That's
and,
right.
You know, the people who were teachers in a past life could teach people how to make guns. Mm-hmm. See what I did there? Yep.
Yep. Could. Now, I know, anytime I've ever had to assemble or disassemble a firearm, there's always like little springs and little pins and things that go everywhere. Yep. And it'd be great for like a 5 or 6 year old with those little fingers to be able to do that stuff for you. You know what I mean? So, I mean, this makes a lot of sense. What you're saying makes a lot of sense to me.
If it's your own community, you can set the child labor laws. That's how I feel. Mm-hmm. Now,
that's
sure,
right.
OSHA and the federal government may have other opinions. But if we don't let them in, then they don't know.
That's right.
You just lock the doors, right?
Yeah. Jim Jones pulled that off. All right. So step one for making your intentional community is yes. that, you've got to find the right people to be in your community. You're going to want to find okay. people that are like-minded. You know what I mean? You want a communist socialist commune, then you're going to look for a certain type of people, an anarchist commune. According to everything I've read, the anarchist communes are the ones that throw the best parties. So okay. just putting that out there. What you want to find is people that are like-minded. You know what I mean? Whatever your mind is. You're going to want to find people that kind of have right. a basic core values that are similar to yours.
Right. Well, one, like, I mean, in my mind, I wouldn't be looking for the whole crazy cult thing that, I know some of the stuff we were just joking about and whatever kind of came across that way. But you do need a vision laid out, like a whole structure of this is what we want to do. I think you need to write out a mission statement. Then you need to kind of decide ownership, right? Are we going to just do like think of how many people make subdivisions and little developments, wherever. There's a big company, Toll Brothers, that builds houses all over, whatever. And they build like, I don't know, they used to be $750,000 houses. They're probably like $1 million or $1.5 million now, the way the real estate market is. Who knows? I haven't looked into them in like 15 or 20 years. But you know, the fancy subdivisions going up all over your community. They're everywhere and whatever. So you can do that yourself, though. And it can be where the community owns a big pile of land, but it can also be where everybody buys their own half acre plot, acre plot, whatever. And you can have, like, a community has, you know, a clubhouse, you might have like that. You might have a community park, right? And instead of it being a park, you might have the community farmland. So you own your house, and, you know, whoever buys, you know, even if you sell your house or whatever, just like a regular HOA, you can have certain terms of who they can sell it to and whatever. And, you know, there's always requirements. You know, it might be, oh, everybody has to be over 50 or whatever. I mean, you might have it where everybody has to have a nose ring or, you know, some kind of Anarchy A tattooed on their arm. You know, you do you, right?
That's, yeah, you know, fully support people being crazy in their own way. Yeah.
Right. I would recommend, like, you know, they need the Prepping Badass logo tattooed on their arm. That'd be good. Yep. I'll license it to you for a small fee. I think, you know, something like $5 a tattoo, something like that. We could work it out. And, you know, whatever, you do you. But you also might have a requirement of, you know, look, we have a board that evaluates and do these people have skills? But maybe it's not skills. Maybe you don't come to the community with skills, but you say, hey, I'm willing to commit to take on learning this skill or doing this, you know, or maybe you bring certain security abilities. Now, a lot of these communities, the Toll Brothers and the other ones, they're starting to add, again, this is like 7 year old information that I've seen, but they would like have a grocery store inside the community. So you kind of never have to leave. So that way you could just ride your golf cart down to the little convenience center. And they just basically have that store for them. You know, that's a lot of what, you know, out in Utah, the Mormons and stuff, I believe they were doing stuff like that, where they have like the Mormon store and everything's kind of, you know, you decide how inclusive it is. You can technically make your own towns. Turns out you just need 51% of the registered voters to go along with your thing. Or you could just buy a big freaking 1,000 acres somewhere and do your own thing. You know, if you bring your own...
I had a friend of mine that followed the Grateful Dead around around the country. And he said a lot of the places where they'd go, a lot of the towns and stuff where they'd set up and have shows, he said the amount of people that were following the Grateful Dead there outnumbered the people in the town. And they're basically, you know, always joking about, well, we could just stay here and make our own sheriff and make our own, you know, appoint everybody that we want, you know. And, you know, there's been groups that have done that, you know, some of them notorious, you know, I know, what was it? I think it was Wild Country. There's a documentary about group that did that and they ended up poisoning a bunch of the,
always ends in poisoning Kool-Aid or ATF raids or burning everybody out inside. Mm-hmm. You know, they don't have to end that way though. It doesn't. Like, maybe there's other ones that we don't hear about.
Well, there's a lot of polygamy. Yeah, there's a lot of intentional communities out there that that have been around for 100 years, you know, and no crazy polygamy
and they don't,
stuff going on.
Right. So for some reason, it's like if you choose that you're worried about the government and you love guns, it has to end in ATF raids and fires. But if you choose, like, we just want old people who play bridge, those ones can kind of go on in perpetuity forever.
Last forever.
So you just got to make the right choices. Mm-hmm. That's all it really comes down to.
Yeah, but, you know, it comes down a lot to sustainability and coming up with a goal and a group of people that believe in that same goal. You know what I mean? A group of people that can work together in a common way to form a community that's appropriate for them and what they value. So I think that's really something that I think that's really something that a lot of people can get into, because working together definitely is a lot better than working by yourself and, you know, fighting the whole fight by yourself. So let's talk about sources of income for your community. Chuck, you were talking about, you know, manufacturing guns and stuff like that, but that's, you know, that's not really the only thing you can do. A lot of these groups grow.
But the best thing.
That is the best one. Right. But one of the groups I looked at grew soybeans and made tofu. They made so much tofu, they produced so much tofu that they were supplying a large portion of the tofu for Whole Foods. And okay, they made a decent amount of money for their community just by manufacturing that stuff there on site. You know, growing the beans themselves, harvesting and manufacturing the tofu. And, you know, it's if you can focus on one or two things that you can do well, then you can really make a decent amount of money. And, you know, it doesn't mean that you're not going to have to work. You know what I mean? All of these involve a lot of work. And a lot of these communities even have people that have outside jobs, you know, regular job in town, and that income supports some of the things like, you know, taxes and some of the stuff that you need money for. You know what I mean? It's great that you can grow all your own food and produce all your own stuff, all your own needs, but you're still going to need some form of income for all the external stuff. You know, people want, you know, want a little bit of liquor. Well, maybe you don't have a still on your property. Maybe that's something to fix, but maybe that's something that's not worthwhile. And there's only like one asshole like me that drinks too much.
Right. You're not likely though, but that's the thing. That's one of the skills you could be bringing to the table. You could be like, well, I make beer and I make moonshine. Mm-hmm. Community be like, yep. All right. I think we're good. Maybe you have to have a winemaker for the wives. I don't know. Mm-hmm. If it makes the wives a little more pleasant. Now, I know a lot of the women who listen to this podcast are shouting at me right now saying that you love your whiskey, and I understand that. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying there are women who like wine also.
That's true. That's
true. I wasn't saying that women can't drink whiskey.
And in defense of the women that like to drink whiskey, I feel that women have a better sense of smell and taste than most men do. And if you're going to try and discern a fine whiskey, it's best to bring a couple of women along to do some taste testing for you.
They can straighten you out.
That's right. All right. So let's talk about finding your property that you want to set your commune up on.
All right.
What are some things that you're going to look for? Right. I mean, really a lot of it is based on what your goals are. You know, if your goal is sustainability, then, you know, you're going to want a big piece of property that has, you know, different stuff on it and has room to grow. You know, if you're setting up your commune in Alaska, you're going to have a much shorter growing cycle, and you're going to have to have, you know, different plans than just farming. Right. So you really want to have an idea of the climate and the area that you want to set up in. And you also have to think about things like property taxes and things like that. You know, setting up a commune in New York or California, that might not be very smart, because the taxes are so high that you have to have a large stream of income just to live there. You know what I mean? Even if you can buy the property outright, that doesn't mean that the taxes are gone. So you kind of want to find a place that, you know, most of the ones that I saw actually were in Oregon, because property taxes are so low. But right. Tennessee and Kentucky, places like that, also have pretty low property taxes. I know we've done some shows about the best place to buy your property. And, right. You know, there's a lot of things that factor into that. Freedoms, basically. A lot of states have different laws, and the different things that are important to you might be dependent on, you know, what the laws of that state and what the laws of that, you know, that area are.
Right. Well, a lot of people even, you know, are looking outside the country, outside the United States for things. You know, Belize, you can look into the crazy McAfee guy and different stuff there. There's, you know, different options. But yeah, so you can make your own town and set your own stuff, but you're still subject to the state and the, you know, the federal laws and whatever. And the more you can isolate yourselves, you know, you can have your own sheriff, you can have your own system of government and, you know, different things, but there are still things that are bigger than you that you have to prepare for. And you maybe choose, you know, the country or whatever based on, you know, what you're willing to accept. But the more you group together and the bigger the community you make, the more control you are going to have over that. So that's definitely something to consider. Now, you also could take another turn and kind of have where, hey, you know, I have, you know, I'm just saying hypothetically, if I had, you know, 100-acre farm, I could have, you know, everybody, hey, come over here, you know, keep your supplies here. And if things end bad, let's get together and we can work together and meet as a group. We don't have to buy into a whole commune, you know, community, but just having the skills together, or even if it is setting up with the people on your street and kind of, you know, working together, that kind of idea, just getting to know your neighbors. I know, you know, once I moved to where I am now, I've mentioned that, you know, my wife goes to the farmer's market and I'll go in and talk to the mayor and whatever. And the more I deal with these people, the more I realize they can be an asset instead of something to fear. But again, if I lived in New York City, that might not be the case.
Right. But you're not going to talk to the mayor in New York City.
Well, I didn't even mean that. I just meant it might be that you might talk to the people and be like, yeah, I don't ever want to talk to them again. That's where I was kind of going.
Yeah.
I imagine everyone's like the people on Sex in the City or something, right?
Yeah, I don't even understand people in New York City. I don't even live that far from there. And I know a lot of people from the city and they're all like ridiculous. Like their ideals and their values are not anywhere near what mine are. But
well, it's weird how much we get shaped by our environment, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so like at first, if somebody who's, you know, nice, happy, doesn't watch a lot of HBO and corrupt TV and whatever, I don't know. That's what I think of as a little kid. The church used to hate HBO and whatever. I don't know. I don't really watch. I have no idea. I can't afford that kind of luxury. But anyway, but somebody who's like, you know, happy, nice, you know, watches wholesome things, watches Little House on the Prairie, they go and watch The Sopranos and they're like, oh, this is disturbing. This is, you know, messed up. But like, admittedly, you know, I watched that show all the way through, or you watch maybe The Shield all the way through, something like that, right? Your perspective changes as you're around it. So in the beginning, what you might find shocking and offensive, you're like, oh, well, I see why Tony would do that. That makes sense. You know, and you start to feel for the character, right? So the guy can be like a ruthless kind of bad guy, or, you know, The Shield, a lot less people have seen it. That's why I went with the Sopranos analogy. But The Shield, I mean, these guys are ridiculously corrupt. But you're just kind of like, well, I see why they would do that. I see how they could get into that. I think that Chicago PD or something is along that same line of, you know, they're just kind of, well, I'm doing it for the right reasons. But my mind, what I'm saying is, the more you're exposed to that corruption and craziness, the more it becomes, well, I understand it and that's okay. I see why people would do that. And that's what happens when you live in a city of people who are just filled with crazy ideas. You end up being a lot more tolerant. You might not be at the same level of crazy they are, but it's going to shift your perspective. You know how the world went from, remember, like Obama and Hillary were both like, oh no, we would never go for gay marriage. That's horrible. And now, how dare you not approve a gay marriage? What the hell is wrong with you? But I mean, even me, everybody, the way you look at these things shifts over time. I'm not saying you feel one way or the other. I'm just saying your perspective shifts. You're, you know, when they say for the, you know, extreme stuff of, you know, hey, the transgender dude wearing the dress and the whatever, and how you look at that versus how you looked at that 10 years ago, it's shifted. Right. It may not, you know, you may not be tolerant of things, but the way you see things, you know, you're like, well, you know, you could be you and I understand it. I just don't have to, you know, but the level has shifted. Right. And that's something that we all end up. Sorry, I don't know how I got off on that tirade, but I'm just saying that realize the people you surround yourself with are going to shape who you are and who you become. And you want to pick a community of people who are going in the direction that you want to go. You know, they always say the people you surround yourself with is who you're going to be, you know, that your seven closest, you know, people that you work with or see every day are going to be the people who you're, you know, shape who you are. They always say that with your income, with your, you know, attitudes and things like that. So realize who you choose, you know, what you bring into your community is going to shape who you are and what you become.
Right, right. Now, another thing to think about when you're choosing your property is what resources are already on that property. Do you have access to fresh water? That's a big one. You know, and some of these communities can support a decent amount of food just from fishing. You know, something that has a big lake or even borders on a river. You know what I mean? Bringing home some fish every day can really reduce your cost of food. You know, hunting on your property, those sorts of things. Another thing to think about when you're choosing your property is resources like lumber. You know, do you have wood that you can use yourself for fuel, for, you know, for firewood, for milling even? Stone.
No, I know on Little House in the Prairie, they set up that nice sawmill. So, you know, hey, keep your options open.
Yeah. It's not really that hard to do. Yeah, a lot of places in this area where I live now have large amounts of bluestone, which is, you know, big, flat, square rocks, basically, that, you know, great for building structures and things like that. You know, things that are on the property are, you know, can be a big resource if you know how to utilize them. So when you're choosing your property, you don't want to just find space. You know, 100 acres in the desert isn't going to do a whole lot of good for sustainability. So it's one of those things that you really have to think about. And really, when you're looking for a piece of property, you really have to do a lot of shopping for it. You can't just choose the cheapest first spot you see and jump on it and try and build it into something else. It's a lot better to have some resources on that property to begin with. So, you know, I think a lot of that, you know, a lot of that comes with you working the land, you know, making it self-sustaining, but also you have to have the resources to begin to start out with. If it's an old farm, right, you know, that might be great. Big old farmhouse and a piece of property that's flat and decent soil, you know, that's a great place to start. But also a place that's, you know, that's all forest can have a lot of resources right there to start building with.
Right. No, it's huge. Now, let's kind of segue into what kind of skills, like what are you hoping, what are we looking for people to bring to this community? I mean, I had like a lot of things I was thinking about, like like you said, one of these could be, you know, hey, do we have a way to make an income? Do we have a way to, you know, really manufacture something or do something? Agriculture, right? We're going to need people who are going to know how to grow things. I mean, that's huge. That could be large scale farming. It could be animals. It could be livestock, that kind of thing. Do you have people who know how to hunt and really hunt, you know? Going out once a year or, you know, shooting the deer out your bathroom window once every other year, that's not quite the same as, It's funny. I was just talking to a guy at work and he was telling me, it's like, yeah, you know, I went and got my third tree stand or whatever. And my wife was yelling at me and she's like, well, did you use the last two tree stands? Where'd you shoot the deer last year? Out the bathroom window. Where'd you shoot the deer the year before? Out the bathroom. Well, because I'm in there and I look out and the deer are sitting there. And I'm like, well, yeah, there you go. You know, that's, you know, hey, teach your own. So anyway.
Yeah, just to be clear, though, that's not necessarily legal in most places.
You know, Kevin, you and your laws. So somebody who knows about foraging. Somebody who knows about medicine. Can we have a doctor or at least, you know, like set up like I gotta say nurse practitioners are the freaking the meaning of life. But, you know, can we set up like at least what the hell do they call them? Like an urgent care kind of thing, that kind of thing. Do we know have people who know about security and defense? People who are mechanically inclined, like engineers and like that. And obviously, you know, being able to work CAD is one thing, but to actually understand how things work together, you know, somebody who can use a lathe and put things together and weld and do things, that's a guy you're going to want with you. I understand you might be like, well, you know, if we don't have electricity, then welding, that's just kind of useless. Well, yeah, it is, but that guy knows how to put shit together. That's right. A reality. You want people who are mentally tough. You want people who have the ability to work together. You know, I've had friends throughout my life that, you know, are really skilled and have amazing talents. I've known, you know, amazing artists and amazing musicians, and they just don't work well with other people. You know, they would guitar players or whatever would just go from band to band to band because everybody'd be like, dude, I just can't deal with you. You know, it's just
right.
Your abilities are here, but your ability to play with others, you know, is not. And that's the thing, you know, or how many artists do we all know who are like just sabotage themselves? You know, they'll do something great and anytime and not, well, I don't want to show my stuff because I don't feel good about it or, right. You know, whatever. But just make sure there's somebody who's going to be able to work as a community and be part of the team.
I think that's a big thing though. You know, when it comes to working with a group of other people, it's great to have different skills just in the sense that you can learn from one another, but you can also support one another in different endeavors. You're talking about having having somebody that's familiar with medicine, talking about nurses. And most of the nurses that I've known and that I've worked with are much better. I'd much rather have an experienced nurse than a doctor, honestly. They really seem to have a practical knowledge of the basics of health. You know, and you were talking about agriculture. You know, somebody that's been growing food for a long time has a lot of experience that that a novice like me might not have. And having a well of knowledge from different people really goes a long way in establishing a community that can sustain itself and establishing a group that can be profitable. And, you know, it also takes self-motivation. You know, hard work. It's not an easy thing. You can't say, you know, oh, I'm going to sign up to the community and start this thing off so I can go from working 40 hours a week to working 20 hours a week. That's not how it's going to work. Now, it's going to be 60 or 80 hours a week, at least to get things started for a long time. I know there's a lot of communities out there that require 40 hours a week to join their community, but there's a difference between working for yourself and working for somebody else. You know, you can work the 40 hours that you want to work. Maybe you like getting up at 4 a.m. and starting your day right then. Maybe you like to sleep in till 10 o'clock and start working at 11:30. You know what I mean? Whatever it is, you can decide your own hours. If you feel shitty and you don't want to go to work, you can take that sick day without having to get permission from somebody else. You know what I mean? You can take time for yourself. You know, hey, it's a great day. It'd be nice to go fishing instead of being out in the field all day today. You know, we'll just have to work twice as hard tomorrow. And you can make those decisions for yourself when you're your own boss. When you're your own governor and your own mayor and your own sheriff, you can make the appropriate decisions on how to live and when you need to put in some extra effort and when you can put your feet up for a little bit. And I think there's a lot of great value in being part of one of these communities. Like I said, I've dug through so much hippie bullshit doing research on this show, but really there's a lot of great benefits that come from that type of thinking and that type of mindset when it comes to self-sustainability.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe I need to put together a Facebook group of people looking to do this kind of thing. I'll see if I can't set something up and put it in the show notes here. I'll put the invites in the Prepping Badass group. I'll post it up on the Prepping Badass page on Facebook. And we'll see if we can't get something on there. Anyway, also, you guys may want to look into, you know what I'll do? I'll do the, will we make it a Prepping Badass community page? What do we do?
I like that.
Community building page, something. Mm-hmm. All right. Anyway, I'll put the links on in our regular group and on the other one, and I'll put a link in the show notes, see if we can't figure something out. But just keep in mind, I would be an excellent sheriff. I don't know really a lot about being a sheriff. I just know I like to play with guns. So there's that. And if you don't want to make me the sheriff, maybe I could be the grumpy gun store guy who has a cigar and wears like an army green shirt all day. And, you know, maybe some kind of Vietnam era camo hat or something, you know, the jungle hat.
Yeah, I like that idea.
Just grumpy and like, I could be that guy.
You're already that guy.
Needs that guy.
Yeah.
Oh, all right. I already am that guy in my community. Wait a minute. So we might be all right. Whiskey and cigars in the gun store. I don't know how you'd go wrong, right?
That's right.
It only sounds right to me. Now, there's also things you want to think about. Like, once you do establish a community, are there things you could do to work together? Like, to build community. So again, this is kind of more focused on if you have a group, well, hit or miss. So some things like going camping together, doing things like that will work for if you're just a group of friends and working towards a common goal and planning to come together, you know, if things get tough. And you also may just build a barter network. You know, think of like a Elks Lodge or, you know, that kind of thing. I've never been a member of one of these groups, but, you know, where you kind of just get together and have the community clubhouse and have something that you do. You know, there's the Knights of Columbus and, you know, the Moose Club or whatever the hell, all the different things. The idea is you have that group and you kind of get together for your common goal. Well, you might want to think of doing like camping trips together, going on big hikes together. They actually have like escape rooms and things like that you could get into. Going to survival courses and, you know, outback courses. We've been thinking about setting up a course here where, you know, we could have people out and go through some gun training and some first aid. Like we've been thinking about like some overall stuff where you put together first aid and whatever, but have in person come out and people learn some skills, some bushcraft and, you know, really get in there. Maybe rafting trips, maybe first aid courses, something like even getting certified as an EMT, you know, that kind of thing. Paramedics, that kind of stuff, obstacle courses, courses on tracking, airsoft, whatever. But things where you get out and one actually work together, kind of learn each other's skills, things where you put the time in and spend time getting to know each other's abilities. These are the things that are going to build you together as a stronger community. And you'll also learn what kind of resources you have available to you and what kind of things you can build up. So that's kind of what I'm thinking. I don't know. I mean, I think that we could be so much stronger as a community.
Yeah, I think I think a lot of that sort of stuff is really what's appealing to people about this sort of simpler life, you know, simpler living. Getting a little bit, you know, getting out of the rat race, getting out of the crowded communities that you're living in. So, you know, when it comes down to it is the Mennonites and the Amish, they've been doing this for years. They've really got it worked out, you know? And if you want to get into something like this, there's a lot of resources out there to look into. And there's already active communities that might be worthwhile just looking into and finding one that suits you the best and right. Setting it up yourself, you know? Being you know, just integrating in with some other communities and some other groups that are already in existence. Like I said, there's 1,000 already operating in the United States. I'm sure there's one that you know, fits your ideas and fits your, that suits you the best.
Yeah. One of the things that when I was doing the research, looking around, I did see there's an event coming up on May 13th through the 15th over the weekend. There's a, how to build or learn how to buy land and build community, like a summit of people who are kind of like-minded to what we are. I mean, I know they're talking about building an off-grid setup and, you know, how to, you know, be self-sustaining and how you'd even go about buying land and that kind of stuff. So it's called the Exit and Build Land Summit. And I know they have like a 2-day free training, and then they probably try and upsell you because everybody who offers anything for free always goes to the upsell later, and that's how it goes. But I'm definitely going to put a link in the show notes if that's something you guys would be interested in. It's, you know, just more people. And the thing that I find about things like that, though, is you can find other like-minded people to connect with. You can maybe, you know, chat or see other people there, or they might have a way to get in touch with each other or that kind of thing. It's always nice to see other people with, you know, like-minded ideas and see how they do it. Anyway, the Exit and Build Land Summit, I think it's called. But either way, it's going to be in the show notes. That's coming up in May. You know, I don't push you guys into stuff too often. I just, one more resource that's out there that I came across as we were doing this. So something to think about, but find people who think like you. And like I said, I'm going to set up an actual community page in the, you know, Facebook group. I'm going to put a link here and I'm going to share it to our group and to the Prepping Badass page. So you can help find, you know, other people that are, you know, like you, and hopefully, you know, maybe connect and find a way to make it work. Like I said, it doesn't have to be shared ownership and socialism. Nobody wants to put their stuff out there, and maybe you can work it better that way. But I think there has to be, in my mind, in a world that I could work, in a community I could work in, you need some kind of leadership. Even if it's a town board you create, or it's a, you know, whatever, you need somebody to make decisions. It can't be, well, we all decide together, because that just always ends like hammered dog shit. You really need to have some kind of structure. And I agree, you know, like Thomas Jefferson said, you know, government's a necessary evil. And, you know, you just, it's one of those things, you know, nobody wants government, but you kind of need it to exist. You need, and by government, I just mean some kind of structure. You know, you need some kind of organization, or we do just have straight anarchy. But like I said, we can have a way where there can be ownership and separation. Think of like what I was saying about those communities where everybody owns their own thing, and then you have shared common parts. There's just different ways to do it. I don't know the best way. I just know that there's a lot of great ideas you can get out there. And I would love if you guys would share any ideas you have, especially if you joined these community groups that I'm going to set up for you. But also, if you, you know, if you shared it to the Prepping Badass group, I could definitely pass the information along and we could find a way to make that work. So with that, stay safe. And you have any other thoughts or ideas, or even if you know about a community, it'd be great if you shared it to the preppingbadass@gmail.com. And otherwise, stay safe, and we'll talk to you guys next week.
The Survival and Basic Badass Podcast is a proud member of the Self-Defense Radio Network.